Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Nirai, and I'm an ORISE Fellow at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention with the Prevention Research Centers program. And I'm going to be talking today about building infrastructure and community capacity with developmental prevention research centers. I have no relationships to disclose. So just to give an overview about the Prevention Research Centers program, it is a large extramural research program at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and was authorized by Congress in 1984. We funded our first three PRCs in 1986, and this has grown to 37 by 2010. The Prevention Research Centers program is a network of academic research centers that conduct prevention research in collaboration with public health and community partners. PRCs conduct community-based participatory research, or CBPR, to implement evidence-based strategies and translate research into practice in order to address chronic disease disparities with underserved and at-risk communities. This funding cycle, the PRC program funded 32 comprehensive centers, and for the first time, 5 developmental centers. So just to give a little background about the differences between comprehensive and developmental PRCs, we have always funded comprehensive PRCs since 1986. And comprehensive PRCs have an established organizational infrastructure, strong community relationships in place, and plans to conduct a core research project using CBPR. Whereas developmental PRCs use the grant to develop their infrastructure and community relationships in order to implement a small pilot study to use CBPR. And the existence of the developmental PRCs really provided us with a unique opportunity to describe the processes of building infrastructure and community capacity in the PRC network. So here's a map of all of our current funded centers, but today I'm going to be talking about our developmental PRCs, and those are circled in red. And those are Dartmouth College, UMass, Ohio State, University of Maryland, and Arkansas. The purpose of the study is to qualitatively describe and document how developmental PRCs build infrastructural support, establish community relationships, and facilitate CBPR. The significance of this study is that findings may help other institutions that are attempting to build a research center or engage with their communities identify strategies. There were 2 research questions. The first was, how do developmental PRCs build infrastructure and community relationships? And the second was, what are the successes and challenges of establishing those relationships? A qualitative methodology was used, in which 5 in-depth interviews with one or more key informants was conducted from each PRC. Interviews were recorded and transcribed, and a grounded theory approach was used to conduct the stages of analysis. And this included reading and rereading texts to develop inductive and deductive codes, coding data and memoing for more abstract themes and observations, and conducting a descriptive analysis of the data to document the dimensions and distributions of themes. So first, I'm going to talk about building infrastructure. After conducting the interviews, it was obvious that developmental PRCs had a variety of existing relationships that varied their foundation for building their PRC. For example, some came in with an extensive research portfolio, while others were really looking to bolster their research infrastructure. Currently, developmental centers are building infrastructure by collaborating across departments, schools, universities, and institutes. For example, one PRC collaborated with their School of Journalism to get an intern in order to work on their communications objectives. However, collaborating can be an intensive process, which of course takes time. Other ways to build infrastructure and position the PRC was to serve on leadership roles in the institution. So, for example, some faculty members would sit on committees with deans and associate deans in order to always make sure that they were at the decision-making table for the PRC and advocate for it. We also wanted to gauge where developmental centers were in securing resources and leveraging other resources. Those PRCs that negotiated for a return on their indirects often used the funds to support staff and other research activities. So, for example, one PI that got money back put it to fund an admin assistant as well as a small pilot program that furthered the mission of the PRC and provided new data in order to help get new grants. And this was really seen as a way to grow the research. Other than applying for grants, some PRCs offered faculty training and seminars around CBPR to get them interested in collaboration and really build capacity at the university level for this research approach. When talking about building infrastructure, developmental PRCs most often talked about building an infrastructure that would facilitate community engagement. So as this participant said, I guess we saw that the PRC main infrastructure would further our efforts to develop community relations. We had a number of key partnerships with community-based organizations and leaders in those organizations, but with the PRC, what we have done is extended a lot of our work. PRCs often spoke about using existing infrastructure in the university to build a research infrastructure within the community. So for example, some PRCs identified core competencies that community members felt that they needed to be competitive grant writers and then would create trainings on those. One PRC even went so far as to have community co-leaders in all of their major leadership positions at the PRC. So for example, they had a faculty PI, but then they also had a community PI. And this was really seen as a way to use the existing university infrastructure to build community infrastructure. Developmental PRCs often talked about using the cooperative agreement as a way to pull many scattered activities under one umbrella. So one PRC had faculty members doing community-based participatory research in other communities and had strong relationships with their partner community in terms of providing services, but really hadn't been able to bridge these two things together. And so this particular PRC said that this cooperative agreement provided us with leadership, coordination, motivation, and planning resources to focus on this highly underserved area, which had been avoided because it's so difficult. So really, they saw this grant as a way to facilitate that infrastructure. Now, building community partnerships. Partnerships were built through a variety of ways across developmental PRCs. Partnership building often started by identifying specific people through word of mouth, having kickoff meetings, just picking up the phone and emailing, or joining existing community committees. Community outreach was also seen as a way to respond to community needs and build partnerships. So some PRCs had food and clothing drives during the cold winter months, others had HIV testing and education, and some created farmers markets. Others described how they would just show up to community meetings and try to talk to as many people as they could. And as the PRC joined community meetings, community members would in turn join their meetings. And so there was really a reciprocal relationship. As one participant described, she first felt that going to community meetings would not be a successful research strategy. However, as she gained the trust of the community, she saw results. And as she described to me what one participant told her about focus group recruiting, that participant told her, "When I got your flyer about focus groups, this kind of thing in the past, I would have just set it aside. But I knew immediately who was doing it and what it was about. And I forwarded it to my neighbors and other people I knew. And I said, this is something you're going to want to tell people about." And this was the first time she ever over-recruited for focus groups. PRCs are mandated in the funding opportunity announcement to establish at least one community committee that will help guide their research project. Establishing community committees range from being very purposeful to being more organic. And the number of committees range from having one to having eight. The structure of these community committees usually fell under one of two models. Three PRCs had community committees that fell under model one, where either individual community members or representatives from community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, local government, health departments, etc., would contribute to smaller community committees. And these community committees might represent arms of the research study or different topical areas or already existing community coalitions. Then representatives from those small community committees would sit on one community committee together that often made more formal decisions about the structure of the PRC as a whole. Two PRCs had community committees that fell under Model 2, in which representatives, again, from community-based organizations, etc., would sit and contribute to one community committee. Now, some PRCs felt that in the beginning of their research, they would be in Model 1, but then move to Model 2 as their research expanded topical areas. And others felt that they would start in Model 2 and then expand to Model 1 as they got more topical areas. So it was really an organic process. Community committees had a variety of ways they gave input to the PRC. Most often they had guidelines, which ranged from being official bylaws to principles of partnership that were less formal. Even with the range of guidelines, most PRCs had a collaborative decision-making process or came to decisions via consensus. Although community committees were the most straightforward way of giving communities a voice, some PRCs had other creative ways of encouraging community input. So, for example, one PRC created a film in which community committee members went into the community and asked local people what researchers should know about working in their community. And this was really a way to harness community energy as well as educate researchers. Communities also gave input into the pilot research project by defining the problem, defining the population, creating the approach, correcting wording of surveys, and assisting with recruitment. Of course, there were barriers and challenges to doing CBPR. And from the community side, location was often a barrier. Sometimes the communities were 2 to 3 hours away by car or even in different states, and this made it difficult for them to visit the universities. The perception of research was also a challenge. Research is slow and monotonous, and communities often have a lot of energy and they want to see change right away. And so one way that I thought that the PRC did a great job of harnessing this energy was to create that film. And so they really turned that energy from a barrier to really a resource. Time was also a challenge. A lot of community members gave in-kind time, and it was difficult for the universities to hire them because of university red tape. And so that, of course, leads us to challenges in the university side. Another challenge other than university red tape was support for CBPR. Only one university saw CBPR as something of tenure track. So community engagement activities, only one PRC university really saw that as something that would count. The budget, of course, was another barrier. Universities often felt that it was difficult to keep promises to communities in the face of budget cuts. And one way around this, of course, would be to educate your communities about the fiscal climate that you're in and really be transparent about your budget process and involve them in the budget. So in summary, PRCs used the research infrastructure to build community capacity, and communities in return were seen as a resource to build infrastructural support at the university. So for those of you that are thinking about ways in which you could build a CBPR infrastructure at your university, some of the more successful strategies that PRCs used was to really collaborate across the university and build that capacity for CBPR. Also joining community committees and creating them. And this was really, I felt in essence, a community campus partnership.